I offer a scripture reading to you this morning out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Let your hearts now receive the Word of God. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of Him in pairs to every town and place where He Himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of the wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.' I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, last week I preached at Mount Mitchell United Methodist Church, and I preached on the Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 51, about how a village of Samaria rejected the disciples, and how they didn't want to hear, they were not yet ready to hear. And so as we move on through this season after Pentecost, we move on through the season of the church being formed and looking at how the church was set into motion, we see now the disciples traveling to another town, being sent out ahead of God, or sent out ahead of Jesus, so that they can prepare for the coming of Jesus. And with this being said, what's happening is the disciples are basically being told, go out, take nothing with you. God's provision is enough. Your needs will be met. Go out, and there will be people who will listen, and there will be people who do not. And the people that will listen, let them know that the kingdom of God is near. In other words, Jesus has come and is bringing the kingdom of God near, and that you're as close to heaven on earth as you possibly can be when you encounter Jesus. And for those who reject, basically you're kicking the dust up. Saying, hey, I can't, you're not going to listen, so we're not going to waste our time here. Not yet, we're not going to waste our time, but the kingdom of God is near. So you need to know that. So if you're not where you need to be, then you need to be making those efforts to get to where you need to be. So when I read this scripture, the image that kept coming to my mind was how that dust is being kicked up. Because I can imagine, when Jesus told the disciples to go do something, and they took off and they went and done it. I mean, they were at that point. They took off and went and done it. And there wasn't any paved roads, so anywhere they went, I mean, they were kicking some dust up. And then when they got to a town that people didn't want to listen to them, they come out into the street, they kicked their dust up and said, "Even the dust that clings to our feet, we kick up and protest against you." So they were kicking the dust up again. Well, so the image that came to my mind when I was studying this scripture, it's one of my favorite cartoons, and so several things this morning is showing that I am of older, I'm not old, but older, because I remember photo albums that we carried around in our wallets, and one of my favorite cartoons was the Roadrunner Show. Now, that was created before my time. That was created in the 40s, aired 40s and 50s, and came back on in the 60s, and so, and kept, still reruns out there now. But it was the Roadrunner Show. And you remember how many remember it first? So everybody here, so we got the right age group here. So we remember how when Roadrunner went somewhere, there was just a pile of dust behind him. And he'd be way ahead of the dust, but he was kicking up that dust wherever he went. And no matter what, he was always going to encounter that pesky coyote, that wily coyote. Everywhere he went, so that coyote was going to try to drop a rock on him, or he was going to try to put up a roadblock, or he was going to do something to get in his way, to get in the way of his mission, to get in the way of where he was going, and he was going to try to stop him. He was really the villain or the evilness. And whenever he encountered the coyote, of course we know Roadrunner always won,
But whenever he encountered that coyote, the coyote would think that he had him, and then that roadrunner would kick the dust up and take off and go somewhere else. And then the coyote would be left in the dust wondering what in the world happened. So you're probably thinking, how in the world does this cartoon have anything to do and kicking the dust up with this cartoon, with this roadrunner, how does that have anything to do with our Christian journey? Well, every day we go out into a pretty interesting world. Every day as disciples, we go out into the world as laborers. The scripture says it this morning. We go out as laborers into the field of the harvest. We go out as lambs into to do God's work in the midst of the wolves. That's what the scripture speaks to us this morning. So you can call them wolves. I mean, they're different, but they're the same family. The roadrunner encountered encountered a coyote. We encounter the wolves that are out there ready to be that villain, ready to stand in our way, ready to cause problems for us, trying to get us to detour from what we're doing. We're sent out to do the Lord's work, and those wolves represent the evil that still exists in this world that we have to overcome so we can do God's work. We have been sent out, and we get sent out regularly. Every Sunday we get sent out again into the world to do the work of the Lord. And so as we are sent out, we are no different than the 70 that we talk about in the scripture this morning. Jesus sent out the 70 disciples into the world to do his work as lambs in the midst of the wolves. So now, in our Christian season, it's a pretty exciting time. We're on the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. So on Pentecost, the church was, the Holy Spirit breathed the church into life, to where the Holy Spirit descended on those that were gathered in a place, tongues of wind and almost like flames touching people, sent people out to make disciples, and thousands of new converts were made in the following days. So the church was born and put into motion, not put into a building. The church was put into motion. And so now, this fourth Sunday of Pentecost, we're still discussing how that church, how our church was set into motion and really put onto a crusade of bringing new believers to Christ. So Jesus appointed these 70 to go out into the world so that people could be prepared for his coming, his literal coming, that he's right behind them and he's coming to speak, and then also his spiritual coming of that day when the Lord goes into the heaven and will come again in that day of judgment. So there's a bigger message here than simply just showing up. He commissioned these disciples with the expectation that they were going to be doing something pretty powerful and pretty important. They were not sent out to be car salesmen, to be camper salesmen, to be boat salesmen. They were not set out to convince somebody to choose DirecTV over Spectrum. They were not sent out to convince somebody to like Ford versus Chevrolet. They were not sent out into those type of things. Now, those are things that are important in our physical world, but they had a bigger message to offer. They had a message to offer that, listen, that day will come. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God will be near. In a physical sense, Jesus is coming to talk to y'all. And in a literal sense, that someday in the not too distant future, and keeping in mind, time is very different in God's eyes than our own. But in someday in the not too distant future, judgment day is going to be here. And you need to have your stuff right, so that on that day of judgment, then you'll be ready to go. So these disciples had an important task. They were not part of a club. They were not part of a group. They were part of the body of Christ, and they were sent out to make disciples, to prepare people so that they would be ready to receive Jesus. But Jesus also, in his teaching, was very clear to them. And I think this is a part that we miss a lot. I think that as a church, we miss this a lot. As all of the churches, we miss this a lot. Making disciples is not easy. I mean, we think that we got the best product in the whole world. And I hate to break it down to a point of saying a product. But we've got the best thing that we know in the whole world. We have a changed life in Jesus Christ. And we know how good that is. And we know what that means. So why would everybody else not want it? If we've got it, we've experienced it, why would everybody else just not want that. It's the best thing in the entire world. I heard a salesman in Sam's yesterday evening talking about these knives that were the absolute best thing in the whole world. And it was funny because he came up to me and he said, well, y'all going to come over and listen to this? And I could hear him. I said, nah, I heard y'all last 2 weeks ago in here. Well, it wasn't me. I said, well, it was somebody saying they had the best knives in the whole world. So one of y'all is right and one of you is wrong. Well, we're right because we have the best thing in the whole world. We've got a changed life in Jesus Christ. But Jesus is very clear in telling the disciples that everybody is not going to see that just yet. There will be towns that you go into where you're planting seeds. And I shared this last week. You're going to be planting those seeds. And people don't want to hear. But those seeds are planted and it might take a while for them to grow and for that harvest to be realized. But we go to those places where we're unwelcome. We go to those places where we are welcome. Because the places we're welcome, we're bringing in the harvest for the Lord. Those places where we're not welcome, well, we're just replanting those seeds so that they can continue to grow. And that's what Jesus tells the disciples, is that when you go into a town, you go into a place, the people that want you, stay there for a while. Eat the food that they provide. Spend the fellowship time with them. Stay in those places. Let them know that the kingdom of God is near. And then when you go to those places where people don't want to spend that time with you, where they're rejecting you, then kick the dust off your feet and go. And let them know the kingdom of God is near. But keep in mind, that's two different ways of saying it. The kingdom of God is near. You've accepted Jesus Christ. And He's coming. And then the other way is, the kingdom of God is near. You better get your stuff right. So there's two ways of looking at those statements. But either way, we have been sent out as laborers into a very difficult mission field. We've been sent out as the lambs into the midst of the wolves. There were people who were against us. There are people who don't want to listen to us. But at the same time, there are people who are ready to hear. So our commission is to make disciples of all people, that they can be baptized in the name of the Lord. Our command is to love God, is to love neighbor. Our command is to cause transformation in our community by the way that we serve. And we have to understand that we serve as disciples in a very difficult time. We serve in the middle of a very broken world. I prayed this morning. And one of the things that just, it tore my heart out, just reading it this morning, the Russians and Syrians bombing an area that has caused hundreds and hundreds of civilian casualties, a lot of children casualties, and intentionally targeting hospitals. And so just to me, I can't even fathom that level of evil that still exists in our world today. And maybe that's not. Maybe that's the perception, but that's what was in the paper this morning. And so there's some level of that violence that still exists in our world. And so we as a church have to do something about it. There's horrible violence and horrible division and horrible pain and brokenness in the community and the world around us. And we have to do something about it. We don't have time to put aside our call to serve the Lord. The time is now. The time of action is now. The kingdom of God is near. And so we have to remember that we have a responsibility to proclaim the good news. Coming out of annual conference, churches have been challenged to be the church of God for the communities that we serve. And there's a lot of conversation and anxiety and concern and perhaps conversations about division as we move forward as a church. But we have to remember this. We have to stay focused on how the Lord will use us. We have to stay focused on how the Lord will use St. Paul United Methodist, Center Grove United Methodist, how the Lord will use you as individual Christians in the midst of a broken world. We're called to proclaim the good news. We're called to live in a way that invites others to experience a grace and a mercy that are more abundant than anything we deserve. And we're called not to point out differences. We're called not to judge. And we're not called to disregard. We also are not called to disregard the sanctity of God's Word in the living Word of God. So those are the things that we're not called to do, but what we are called to do is to proclaim the good news that is in Jesus Christ and live a life worthy of our calling. So brothers and sisters, our lives, or our challenge, is to live out the change that we experience with baptism, while remembering that it's only because of Jesus that we have this chance. Our calling is to continue to live out our lives in a way that reflects love, and we have to seek to make the encounters that we have with others a positive occurrence. So when we go to those places, we're welcome. When we go to those places, we're not. We need to seek to make those positive things that people can focus on the good. What good can come of a relationship with Jesus Christ? We need to remember that even though we understand that we have the best thing in the world because we are experiencing that changed life in Jesus Christ, there are still others that don't quite see that. So we have to help them to see. So today, as we come together, sharing in Holy Communion, we join in together at this table. We remember that we're united as the body of Christ, but we also must remember there are many of people. There are many of people that are out there that are still yet to hear that good news. And as we are renewed and strengthened today in our own calling, we must remember that we take that renewed strength and that renewed calling out into the mission field of this community, and we make disciples that this community and this world can be transformed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.